Welcome to Nurse Educator Podcast. I'm Marilyn Orman, Editor-in-Chief of Nurse Educator. I am thrilled today to be able to talk with four educators from Oregon Health and Science University who have written a fascinating and critically important article on supporting an inclusive environment through correct name pronunciation. And so today we'll be talking with Rana Najjar, Joanne Noon, and Karen Reifenstein. And actually, there's only three, not four. Thank you so much for actually publishing this article on Nurse Educator. I think it's so important that educators have this information and learn from you about correct name pronunciation. Rana, I don't know if you wanted to start, but if somebody could tell us the genesis for this article.
Yes, thank you so much, Marilyn, for your invitation to this podcast. We're really honored to be here and to share a little bit about what we've learned about name pronunciation, as well as our experiences. And so, you know, I've been thinking about this question, and I don't know that I can honestly identify one, you know, sort of incidence. I think I talked a little bit in the video that we recorded about this article. I shared the story of my daughter's experience and having her name mispronounced, and what I perceived that maybe she had not should not felt seen that day. I talked about my students and they're bringing up this idea of, like, why are you allowing your colleagues to mispronounce your name? And I think honestly what the genesis for this article was going to Joanne and sharing this with her and having her validate the fact that, yes, this is important and maybe we can find something in the literature and then maybe we can move forward with this work. I think if Joanne hadn't, you know, she said, oh, Rana, you're just, you're like over exaggerating or you're being too sensitive, I think it really would have silenced me and I wouldn't have recognized the importance of this. So I would say, you know, for me, the genesis of the article was that moment of going to Joanne and talking to her about it, and then having Karen join us and having her do the faculty webinar and listening to other faculty and their responses to this, you know, what we think is important work. And I think ultimately for me, it was, you know, we've been doing equity and justice work for a while now, and in that moment, I really felt like we had to walk the walk, if you will. As challenging as it was in many ways, I felt like, you know, if we're going to call ourselves activists in this idea of looking at equity and fighting for justice, like, this is the moment for us to do it and put ourselves out there. And, you know, we've thankfully found people that have connected with this work. So thank you for asking that question.
And I think I remember from reading your article, I think it's so important because a lot of faculty, myself included, don't think about name pronunciation as much as some other areas of creating an inclusive environment. You talked in your article about if we don't pay attention to this, it can become a microaggression. Could you tell us a little bit more, what are microaggressions, and link these for our listeners to the correct name pronunciation?
Okay, so again, thank you, Marilyn. This is Karen Reifenstein. And microaggressions can be verbal or nonverbal, snubs or insults, which may be intentional or unintentional, but which communicate derogatory or negative messages to target persons. And as we mentioned in our article, name mispronunciation is a form of microaggression, as it is an exclusionary practice known as othering. So I think you mentioned some examples of microaggressions that you wanted me to talk about. So one would be renames person. And here there's an example that a student has an unpracticed first name and the faculty member states, I'm just going to call you Susie. That would be an example of a microaggression.
And, you know, it's just so inappropriate, but I know people do that, or they don't learn how to pronounce the name. They don't even ask the student or colleagues, tell me, you know, how to pronounce your name, or apologize if they can and practice it. So I really, that was one of the other things I got out of your article. We really have to be more attentive to this What are some examples of microaggressions associated with name mispronunciation?
Well, the other one would be treats people with unfamiliar names differently. So an example, in an award ceremony, the moderator introduces all awardees by first and last name, except for one awardee with an unfamiliar last name, and the moderator calls this awardee by first name only.
And that's a good one, and you hear that happening, unfortunately, multiple times. So thinking about microaggressions and what you shared, what strategy have you found to be helpful that you could share with our faculty and other listeners today?
Well, this is Joanne Noon speaking, and two strategies we found really useful are in the supplemental digital content that are associated with this article. So one is the use of a tool called Name Coach that you can embed in your signature line in your email, and it pronounces your name for you. You can record your name, and people can listen to your name. So an example of that we put in the supplemental digital content. Another one is to look at your learning management system and see if it's possible to add in the phonetic spelling and or recording that students are able to record their names so you can hear them. And that tool was available to us, and we in our learning management system. So we standardized in the program I administer. We use that tool consistently throughout our courses. And I do think that's really important to model, because I had a situation just recently where I inadvertently was mispronouncing somebody's name that I had just recently met and was working with through work. This person had seen my name coach signature line and that I was pronouncing my name, and so felt safe enough as a result to say, hey, I just want to let you know you're mispronouncing my name. So I didn't even realize the additional benefit that that tool can convey to other people, that it's, you're a safe person to share that with.
I think that's a really good example. I had a question for anybody in the group. If I'm the student or the colleague whose name is being mispronounced, what do you suggest for that end? So should we tell the speaker? Should we tell the teacher? Should it be done publicly? Is this something to be done after class? Could you share some strategies really for the student, or if you're a new colleague, as Joanne mentioned?
So I can jump in, Marilyn, because I feel like this is a common experience for me. And I think, what I do, I really vacillate. I mean, sometimes if the atmosphere is correct and it's sort of a very jovial, low-key atmosphere, I might jump in and say, well, my name actually is pronounced Brenna. So it's like Brenna without the B sort of thing. But if it's in a wider setting, if it's a formal setting, I tend to hesitate from doing that, mostly because I don't necessarily want to disrupt the flow of thought that's happening in the room. And so I might say to the person in the chat, like, my name is pronounced Brenna, or I might say, so it's private, not like publicly in the chat, but like privately to that person. If it's in a virtual room. But if it's in a open space, I would probably just wait until the opportunity presented itself to do that name correction. So I think it just depends on the space. I think for students, I feel like the onus is on us to attempt to learn their names. And so that's why I think the strategy that Joanne uses and suggests, which is to embed this in the learning management system, is a really good strategy, because then before we get to class on that first day, we can go through the students' names and really spend some time learning their names. And I think that just would add that piece of safety for students, and that feeling of like, I'm heard, I belong here. This person took the effort, made the effort to actually learn my name. So I think, yeah, so I don't know if I answered your question, but I think it just depends on the situation.
And I think you did, because I was going to say, as you explained, it's really the context that would help a student or a colleague who's new to the school decide how to handle it. I wanted to just tell you and just share, one of our faculty had read your ahead of print article and didn't realize you could embed, this is how my name is pronounced, in the signature line. And she saw that in your supplemental content. And now when you read her emails, she has that line in, you click it, and this is how my name is pronounced. So really, this is, your article has so many implications that are specific things faculty can do. So thank you for that. I'm curious how people in your school and other colleagues have responded to your initiative.
Well, this is Joanne, and I just, we presented at a conference, and we're really, that's why we wound up writing this article, was the response we had after presenting that. So in fact, some of the speakers some of the people who came up afterwards were actually people I had known who had mispronounced names and struggled with it, and they shared about their struggle. It's always nice also to see colleagues adopting practices around embedding that in their signature line too, so that we have seen that response as well.
And I just want to add to what Joanne is saying in terms of what the response has been. What was really interesting to me and what struck me when Karen did the faculty webinar is what emerged from that webinar is the commonality of this experience of having their name mispronounced. So even when a person has an anglicized name, they may still have that experience of having their name mispronounced and it bothers them. So for example, if a person's name is Julia and, you know, or if a person's name is Julie, but they're constantly being called Julia, like it actually does bother them. Of course, you know, when we see things through the lens of intersectionality, we understand that individuals from historically and systemic excluded groups experience name mispronunciation as sort of a multiplicative, not necessarily an additive experience to everything else. So, you know, I that really struck me. And I thought, you know, it goes back to that, you know, ideology that we've been fed of zero sum. That Heather McGee talks about in her book, The Sum of Us, where, you know, when we talk about doing equity work, when we talk about this idea of inclusion, the end goal is always justice. And when the end goal is justice, it means everybody benefits. It's not the zero sum, you know, ideology that we've been fed that want this, that these things are only going to benefit one group at the expense of another group. And so this experience was a reaffirmation of this. Like, yes, when we learn how to pronounce each other's names correctly, it benefits everybody, regardless of where your name comes from.
I think that's a really good point, and actually a good summary of what the impact is of your article for educators everywhere and this podcast as well. Thank you so much for sharing these important points to guide educators in addition to your article. This concludes the podcast.